You're listening to Public Radio from Western Michigan University, WMUK 102.1 FM. I'm Arlene McMichael. For the month of February, I'll be bringing you interviews with people making a difference in the Kalamazoo area. Some people you may know, some you may not. Our conversation today is with the talented musician and music educator, Monica Washington Padula. As an Afro-Anishinaabe woman, she's a trailblazer in Kalamazoo for operating her own piano studio. Welcome to WMUK, Monica.
Hi, Arlene. Thank you so much for having me.
What three adjectives would you use to describe yourself?
Thoughtful, witty, and kind.
If you had to sum up your life's work in one sentence, what would it be?
My purpose is to share different ways for the people of my community and of my ethnicities to be able to heal and to be able to share joy.
I'd like to talk now a little bit about your upbringing. I know that you were born in Lansing and you came to Kalamazoo in 2004 to attend Western Michigan University, where you received your bachelor's and master's degrees in classical piano performance. But also what I'd like to highlight is that you have documented descendancy with the historic Saginaw, Swan Creek, and Black River tribe of the Ojibwe people of Michigan. While children can be exposed to instruments in schools, that's not universally true across America for every kid, especially kids of color. You know, money for instruments and private lessons can be a barrier. Mm-hmm. Were there any barriers to you pursuing music as a child?
I would say that I was not aware of any barriers, and that's because of the way that my parents made this possible for me. My parents listened to my interests, and even though they were both working class people, they were people that always took care of that, and they made sure that I had a private teacher to study with. I studied with Ms. Verna Dorian Holly of Lansing, Michigan, who is still teaching today. She's an elder now in her 80s, and she was my first music educator. And also my parents made sure that when I was ready to participate in band, they rented the instrument for me until I was able to own it as my own. And that second instrument is saxophone. So whatever barriers existed financially, or picking the right educator, my parents took care of that.
You are a multi-instrument musician. You play the piano, you play the organ, and you play the saxophone. And you have a background in Black gospel music and other forms of African-American popular music. But you also delve into the classical realm as well. How did you develop this interest in music? Was that in your home?
I would say that it was not quite in my home, although my parents, they definitely played, especially gospel music. I heard gospel music around all the time. But my parents also had a history of listening to, you know, the old school, what they, we would call, you know, the old school R&B, the skating music. They used to listen to the Al Green and all of that. I didn't grow up listening to those classics. I've been relearning them at this stage. But I also realized that as an adoptee, I found out later down the road that both sides of my biological family had musicians in them, both blues musicians and jazz musicians. Both of my grandfathers on each side were musicians. So music is something that is, you know, part of my DNA, but it was also part of my upbringing.
Now I'd like to talk about how you are sharing your love of music with young people. You not only offer classes within your own studio, but you go out into the community, the heart of the community, the heart of the African-American community, and offer lessons to children. Tell me about this passion that you have for offering music education more equitably for communities of color.
Yes, this was something that actually developed before I really understood barriers systemically and institutionally, particularly for Black American children and other children of color living in the margins. I always had this idea that everyone that wanted to study music should be able to. At that time, I didn't understand the barriers. This was graduating from college. But the more that my post-education, my after-college education really came from activism. And once I began really understanding and learning from my community and learning from the organizations that exist, I realized, wow, I absolutely need to make sure that I'm intentionally creating space for my Black community students and for my other students of color to participate in music learning. And how do I need to change the way that I learned to make it more accessible so that they're interested and they want to keep coming back? What do I need to do? So I found that a time for me to stretch myself and grow myself. Mothers of Hope reached out to me to ask me to be a contracted teacher for their Leitman Piano Scholarship Program. And I worked with Miss Dorothy Young to begin that partnership with them. And I'm still working with students through that program. That was my entryway into getting more into the Black community and having access to children that needed to have help to be able to access the music education. As a community person and someone that's been on the scene, especially as a saxophonist, the community themselves are the ones that often bring me into spaces that ask me to come and perform. And often they ask me to come in with saxophone. So it's really interesting, you know, the community often prefers to hear saxophone, but also when the students want to learn piano or keyboard, I also can step in that way.
And how long have you had the association with the Mothers of Hope?
I would say it's been at least 2 years now.
And as part of that, do the young people get their lessons paid for?
Absolutely. Michael Leitman was a psychologist, if I'm saying that correctly, who worked with serving the community that was receiving access to resources, specifically for substance abuse, for Black parents and Black mothers in our community. And I believe it was specifically geared over towards the North Side, which is our historic Black community. And so Dr. Leitman believed that the children of those parents, if they were able to be exposed to music and have access to piano lessons, that would, with his research, that would really set them up to have this education that not only encourages their brain development and their brain to develop in a different way, but would also increase their performance in other subjects in school. And so he provided the scholarship fund specifically for the parent, the children of those who are receiving support and services from Mothers of Hope.
I meant to ask you this question offline, but I'll go ahead and ask now. Ed Callahan, Kalamazoo native, African-American man who's making strides in terms of the classical piano, was he one of your students?
No, Ed, I referred to Ed as a colleague during my Western days. Ed and I were in undergrad together, and we would see each other, of course, around the halls. We would have to attend what is called area, which is where the students of the same musical instrument or discipline would gather every so often and give recital performances for one another. And so Ed and I would always see each other there. We ended up studying with the same professor. I studied with the professor he had when I was in grad school. And so we would cross paths that way. And he has since told me that I was an inspiration to him, and that has cycled around. And now what the ways that he is achieving and continuing to perform in what he loves is an inspiration to me and encourages me to continue to practice and continue not to place limits on what I can do at this stage in my life.
As we close, I'd like to touch on your participation over this past weekend on Saturday with the Gilmore Keys Fest. That's a day-long learning event for young students who are interested in piano. You spoke at that event. I believe you talked about your journey as a musician of color.
Yes, Edward and I co-hosted that and shared our experience, the teachers that influenced us, the unique barriers that we did face along that journey, especially once we got into the college atmosphere, and had to become aware of and exposed to anti-Blackness and stereotypes of what Black musicians should do or the only types of music that we should play and just how we recognize the barriers to access. The name of the workshop was Stay True to You. Your culture is important. And we basically wanted to be able to turn around and inspire the youth, particularly the youth of color, that they do not need to separate or hide or minimize their origins, and that those very origins are the fuel that's going to help them get through whatever their journey is in music. And if they reach back and find ways to access it and to display that throughout their journey, that is really powerful. And we want to encourage them in that.
Talk a little bit more about that. What kind of challenges did you encounter?
I would say that because of my skill, I was viewed as more of maybe an exception to the rule because of maybe various privileges that I held. But I personally watched those around me, specifically who were Black, not receive the same attention. They were not necessarily treated in the ways that I was treated. And so I was able to listen to their stories and observe and review the anti-Blackness and the institutionalized racism that they were subjected to a long time right alongside me, and I didn't notice. And so I would say that together with being an Afro-Native woman and together with being a woman, that there were many things that, looking back in hindsight, I was experiencing that I wasn't able to name at the time. Because it was more of a feeling, not something you could really describe. But I do remember that I had a lot of insecurity when I would watch other people play piano or seem to have more skill in their memory. I didn't realize at the time that I needed a special type of support, the support that really comes from community that is not present in those higher areas of learning. And so you become a bit in a shell there. And I would really like to just impress that it's important that there be programs that can hold students of color in those higher areas of learning so that they are supported. And when they experience something, they have someone to talk to about it who can help them name what is going on for them.
And finally, do you feel that you have helped be that person that makes space for students of color and that you've had an impact in that area?
Absolutely. I would say this is ongoing. And the more that I listen and the more I'm able to use the language I have learned and the more that I'm able to use my insight and experience and all of my reading and study and research to help articulate and support students of color and what they're going through. And working with my younger music students, anticipating what they will be faced with, I work to kind of beat society to the punch and instill in my students a sense of they are already all right within themselves. There's not a way that they need to change or differ, that they can show up fully in themselves, that they have capability inherently, and that I'm there to support them. I would say that this kind of became apparent for me as to what my role is now as a graduated person and a community member and activist. When I was able to produce a piece of writing in response to some student anger and upset at a concert that was held at Western's campus a couple of years ago. And I was able to, in my position now, give some responses that help support those views and hold those feelings and make them legitimate and valid based on the history of institutionalized racism and how it touches the school of music. And so I was able to write a Medium piece, and it was called When the Chickens Come Home to Roost. And so that is available to be read and ruminated on. And I also created The Reason Why We Sing as a response to that to help educate the educators and show that community members are listening and we understand that sometimes we have to put in the extra labor and give the example that we feel should be set inside of the institution.
Well, Monica Washington Padula, thank you so much for joining us here on WMUK.
Thank you for having me, Earlene. I am a big fan of yours, and this means a lot.
Okay, thank you.